Let us pray. Our most and eternal Father, we are thankful this morning for your loving kindness. We are thankful for your mercy. Thankful that you have seen it fit to reveal to us your eternal will. Thank you, Father, that above all, you sent your Son who came to this world, took on a human form, lived among sinful men, and yet without sin, so that he could go to the cross and die for our sins. Father, we do recognize what a love that you have so demonstrated, that while we're yet sinners, Christ died on our behalf. What a privilege, what an honor that we are your children. Father, this morning we have gathered together, knowing that there are things in the spiritual realm that there's no way we could understand them apart from the fact that you revealed to them to us through your Holy Spirit. Therefore, as we begin to study these things, we realize that there's no way we can understand them if your Holy Spirit does not teach us. For this reason, Father, we request that the Holy Spirit, the perfect communicator, will open our mind, focus us on this subject as we study through it in Christ's name. Amen. We have begun last week looking with demon and demon possession. And one of the interesting things about that topic is I've read and heard of all kinds of things that happen to people when they start teaching it. There have been a lot of incidents reported in the books of people who, when they began to teach this subject, something strange started happening. In fact, one of the cases I've read is the founder of Dallas Theological Seminary, Dr. Schaefer, that anytime he would tell the students, that anytime he begins to deal with demonology, strange things start happening. And one time he announced to the church he was going to begin teaching demonology in that church. The next week, the church burned down. Well, the same thing in a sense, it's not really. There was a book that I had used, a secondary source, and I wanted the original source. And there is no reason for me not to have got that book. Latest by Wednesday, is when I got it. Last evening, about 3 o'clock. So I spent the whole from that time till about 10 o'clock and so on to just peruse through the book because of I need to verify things from the original source. So what I'm saying is demonology is something that once you begin to deal with, all kinds of things can happen because you really know why. The devil doesn't want people to know about him. See, the less we know about him, the more he's pleased. And so he can deceive people. So we have begun to look at the term demon possession. And so that's what we're going to be dealing with today. So the term demon possession is not an expression found in the Bible as such. However, it is a term that has been coined to describe an activity of demons as described in the Bible. Therefore, demon possession is really the indwelling of one or more evil spirits or demons in a person, resulting in total control of the person at demon's will. The demon may not always live in that body, but may come and go as he wishes. Demon possession, though, is a concept that the Bible provides very little information. For example, we are not given the information as to how a person comes to be possessed by a demon, or how demons indwell the bodies of an individual. Now, it is interesting, though, that as far as I have been able to determine, in all occurrences, that's about 11 of them in the Greek text, where the Greek word translated to be demon-possessed in our English versions, wherever it's used, it's actually used to describe the actual demon indwelling of individual possession that will appear in those passages in the present tense. In all 11 passages that word was used, it's all in present tense in the Greek. Now the present tense used in those instances then indicates that the possession started in the past, but with emphasis on the present state of the person or persons possessed. Now the present tense also indicates, as we've already mentioned, that the possession may not be continuous, indicating that the demon indwells the person at a chosen interval that is determined by the demon. So we do not know when and how a person gets to be possessed by demons. Only their present state is emphasized. Furthermore, we do not know the basis of how some get to be possessed by demons and others not. We do not know. In other words, the Bible They now clearly state the basis on which one person is a candidate for demon possession or indwelling of demons. However, we know for certain that there are certain conditions that at least make a person be attracted to demons, although we are really not absolutely certain of what these conditions are. Now we say this because of the description of our Lord in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 verse 43. And I think we'll probably get back to that passage sometime before it's all over. Matthew chapter 12 verse 43 begins to say, when an evil spirit comes out of a man, he goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then he says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, he finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. That is how it will be with this wicked generation. Now our Lord did not go into detail to explain to us the conditions that make it attractive for demon that has left a person to want to return to that person. However, one clear condition is that the demon must find that body unoccupied, indicating probably that the person does not have the Holy Spirit living inside of him. Now this, of course, is the most logical way to understand that a body is unoccupied. For you see, if some demon is already in that body, then he will probably have to join them, not to go and get another one and follow. But if the Holy Spirit also occupied that body, then there's probably, as we're going to see later on, there may be no room for that demon to return, depending on a lot of other things. Now, the ambiguity of the conditions that our Lord had given, really is given in that expression where he said, swept clean and put in order. Swept clean, in verse 44, swept clean, that last expression. Swept clean and put in order. Now, the expression put in order is translated from a Greek word that also means to beautify or to make something attractive. So there has to be, what it's saying is, there is something that someone has to do to make his soul, his body, attractive to demons. So, it seems that there are then conditions inside the soul that will make a person very attractive to demons, but our Lord did not specify those conditions. We could only speculate that it must be that the soul of that individual contains no truth of God's word, so that the demon will have no problem occupying the person's body and influencing his soul. Now, while our Lord did not go into any detail about the condition that makes a person suited for demon possession, it would seem that one way for a person to make himself a candidate for demon possession is to be involved in idolatry and, of course, its associated practices. For it is through idolatry that a person comes into closest contact, so to say, with demons. When a person is involved in idolatry, that individual is certainly exposing himself to demons, as implied by the instruction of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20 says, no, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons. Now, what do pagans do? They are involved in idolatry. They worship something, and they offer us their sacrifice to that thing. But Paul, under the Holy Spirit, says, whatever they are worshipping, behind it is demon. Then he said, that's offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. So it is probably for the same reason that a person who gets involved in idolatry or activities that are associated with demons, such as consulting mediums and witchcraft, would make contact with demons, that God commanded the Israelites not to get involved with these activities that will expose them to demon contact. And that instruction is given in Leviticus chapter 19 verse 31. Leviticus the 19th chapter, or chapter 19, beginning of verse 31 really. He says, do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Now it is probably the possibility of demon possession that is implied in the word defiled. For it seems that when a person consults a medium or a spiritist, that is one who contacts and gains information from their spirits, that such a person is exposing himself to the realm of the demons, and so could easily become demon possessed. You see all those things that people go and click on the internet, and they go and have some person read their this and read that for them. Once they do that, they begin to enter into the domain of the devil, of the demons. And that's why no believer should ever get involved in that. So hence, to avoid its possibility, God instructed the Israelites not to have anything to do with consulting mediums. In fact, the case of demon possession that have been reported in the modern times by missionaries, where those cases where the people involved, the demon possessed individual, have been involved in some form of idolatry. Every case reported by missionaries. For example, there was a case in which a Christian officer, his son, his little boy in Madras, that's in India, suddenly lost his power of speech and was showing what we'll call some strange signs and feats. Now the missionary that was involved with this continued with some investigation, and after a certain investigation process, they discovered that this thing happened to this young man as soon as he, shortly after he finished playing under a tree where the Hindus sacrificed to their spirits. So he came close to that, didn't know about it. The demon didn't care anyway. And that young man couldn't speak for a while. And of course, through prayers, continuous prayer, he was restored. So what I'm saying is, it's important to recognize that demon possession is not limited to the Bible times. There are certainly many cases of demon possession in modern time, especially in Africa, China, and India. Now, missionaries who have been in those areas have reported several cases. Now there was this case, one case in Colombia, very close here, Latin America, around 1941 and 42, where there was this young girl who would come. They had a news that anywhere she entered something like a house or a kitchen, things would just start flying. So the missionaries didn't just really believe that, because you see, they come from the United States, where they don't believe this kind of thing. So the young girl came to visit their own maid, and as soon as she entered their kitchen, dishes and knives and started just flying, as if somebody was tossing them. And this missionary said, if we didn't see it, we wouldn't believe it. And they saw it, and they repeated many, many times. It wasn't one time. And it turned out this lady was demon-possessed. Well, there was another case I can point to you here in this country, around in the 1940s in New York. There was this Indian young lady that was demon-possessed. When the demon comes, become active, they say her hair, long hair, will go up and just be, stretched completely up. And she'll be lifted up about several feet from the air, and she'll be dancing in the air, defying gravity, right? Demons. So, when people say, oh yeah, it's only, those things in the Bible. And I'm saying, no, they're not. The demons are still here today. But we're going to be seeing part of the reason that some of these things seem not to be quite prevalent in some part of this country. In other parts of this country, they are. But you see, when you see those things, you realize that there are demon activities, and these ones I've just described to you. I don't want to go into all the details. But I've chosen one case that took place in Germany in the 19th century, as given by Dr. Unger. I chose this because it received proper public scrutiny. Now let me quote the entire text as Dr. Unger reports it. And I'm quoting from his book, Demons in the World Today, page 110. Everything I'm going to read now is in quote. He said, striking is the case of Gottliebin Ditus, a demon-possessed young woman who became one of Pastor John Christopher Blumhardt's prayer cures. in the course of his remarkable gospel ministry in the 19th century Germany. Gottlieben saw, that's the lady, Gottlieben saw apparitions and had frequent attacks in which she fell unconscious and demons spoke through her in their own voice and personality. Blueham Hart, the pastor, and others conversed with them at length, with the demons. And you see, would that surprise you? Remember, Christ was conversing with the demons because they were talking to him and saying, "Don't send us out. We know who you are. You're the Son of God." But yeah, this pastor and, you know, and his associates were conversing with demons. And that's not uncommon, as some of you may think. Well, continuing with the quotation, Pastor Blumhardt opened this case of possession to public scrutiny. He had a woman stay with Gottlieben and asked a committee of prominent citizens to conduct a thorough investigation. Persons were stationed all around the house, in various rooms, and even in Gottlieben's room. That's the woman's, the lady who is possessed by demon. Continuing, quoting, "Noises were heard which gradually increased in violence and seemed to concentrate in Gottlieben's chamber." That's her, inside her room. "Chairs bounced, windows rattled, plaster fell from the ceiling, and objects moved about without any visible explanation." Now, you see, if it was just this pastor, people would say, he's hallucinating. See, that's how people try to explain this scenario. But this, there was a lot of people involved in this investigation. So all of them could have been hallucinating at the same time. Okay? Well, still continuing, it says, "Prayer caused the noises and the phenomena to increase." In other words, the more they prayed, the more things got worse. But we'll see. "When the victim was removed to another house to live with another family," in other words, they're very serious about this thing, so they have to move to see whether it can be explained in another way. So he said, "When the victim was removed to another house to live with another family, the noises and the telekinetic phenomenon continued for a while in her former residence and then began in the new one." You know, those lamps going flying up and ceiling and things moving here and there, tall being tossed. It says continue the new one. Well, continue with the quotation. "On one occasion, after continued prayer, one of the demons inhabiting Gottlieben cried out, 'All is now lost. Our plans are destroyed. You have shattered our bond and put everything into confusion. You with your everlasting prayers. You scatter us entirely.'" Oh, did I make a point to you? I have been emphasizing the importance of prayer, especially group prayers for believers. But most people don't take it seriously. This is demon speaking now. It wasn't from the lady, even though it's coming out of her mouth. That's the demons talking. And saying that you have shattered our everlasting bonds with your everlasting prayers. Continuing, it says, "We are 1,067 in number." In other words, there are 1,067 numbers, demons living in that woman. Strange? Not so. When we get to the 8th chapter of things here, the 8th chapter of Luke, we will see a legion, almost 6,000 in one person, demons. Well, see, continuing, he said, but there are still multitude of living men. In other words, what this demon is saying, these groups of demons, you're driving us from here, there are other human beings we can go. That's what it really come down to. So let me continue with the quotation. He said, "But there are still multitudes of living men, and you should warn them, lest they be like us forever, lost and cursed of God." Continue with the quotation. He said, "Between December 2nd and December 28, 1843, complete deliverance from demon possession and restoration to health came to Gottlieben, including the sudden healing of a deformed limb that has not responded to therapy." In other words, she has some kind of crippled leg. Now, people don't think demons can do that. Her leg was crippled, and all of a sudden, when the demons left, she got straightened out. Oh, does that scare you? Read your New Testament. Read the Gospels. You see this thing. That Christ will speak, and, you know, a woman bound for many years, crippled, and we just say, "Demon, get up." And the person get up and start walking. So this is what we see here. Anyway, continue with the quotation. "But the final battle was fearful. Blumhardt, the pastor, after hours of prayer, commanded the demon to come forth. With a terrible outcry, penetrating a great distance, the demon confessed that he was an emissary of Satan, leaving his victim with a piercing yell, "Jesus is victor." The evil spirit and the hosts of demons under him departed, never to return to their victim. This was a climax of an 18-month-old struggle against stubborn demon spirits. End of quote. Everything I quoted from you, like I said, is from the book by Dr. Unger Merrill. His book is titled Demons in the World Today. Now, be that as it may, as much as we're not provided any detail of how a person gets to be possessed by demons, nevertheless, there are certain facts about the activities that of the demons that they carry out on those possessed that we know. I'll just mention six of these. First, when a person is possessed of demon, his speech could be impaired by the demon. The impairment is mentioned in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 32. Matthew chapter 9, verse 32 and 33, of course. It reads this way. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." So you see, demon possession could lead to a person being dumb and unable to speak, as indicated in this passage. But then recall, that wasn't too long ago, within a few minutes ago, that I referred to you in the case of a young boy in Madras that played under a tree where they sacrificed to demons, and how all of a sudden he lost his speech. So these things, that thing, they are only found in the Bible time. As far as I know, only after the flood that God imprisoned some angels, but since then, those fallen angels are still around. Except those of them who were really put in prison. So the demons are still here with us. Second activity that we can tell, demon possession could lead to seizures in a person, as indicated in Matthew chapter 17, verses 15 through 18. Matthew 17, 15 through 18. Matthew 17, verses 15 through 18 says, "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and he came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Now the man described his son as having seizures, according to the translation of the NIV, but the authorized version and the New American Standard described the son as being a lunatic. That's the word they use. Well, the word seizure is translated from a Greek word that means to be moonstruck. So that means to have convulsions or to suffer epileptic seizures, which in the ancient times were associated with the supernatural power of the moon. That's how they explain it. They say it has to do with the moon. Now the translation lunatic could be quite misleading, since what the man described to Jesus here has to deal with epileptic seizures, as evident by the fact that the son falls into water or fire. And you know, I don't have time to go into tell you some of the things missionaries reported about demons possessing individuals, that the demons would tell them, "Go and drown yourself, go put this and all that." And it sounds just the same thing as what's in here. Now, so a lunatic really would not normally fall into water or fire. Now this activity of falling into water or fire not only reveals that demons produce seizures, but they could also produce suicidal tendencies. In any event, the man did not know the cause of this seizure, but our Lord identified them as caused by demons, so that once the demon responsible was driven out of the young man's body, the seizure stopped. Now the convulsions that demons produce could also lead to the foaming at the mouth. This we can see from Luke chapter 9, verse 39. He says, a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions, so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him, and is destroying him. Demons. So you see, the demons can lead to seizures, and all foaming in the mouth, and all kinds of things. Well, there's a third thing that we know that they do. Demon possession leads the person to being jerked, shaken, or even tossed about on the floor, for example, not because of epileptic seizure, but as a demonstration of the demon's power. It is this kind of jerking of a person around, or the person possessed by the demon, that is described in Mark chapter 1, verse 25 and 26. Now we just keep seeing these things in the gospel. That's most of the things we deal with being mostly in the gospels. Because that's why we have a concentrated account of demonism during the time that Christ was on this planet. And like I keep saying, even after the departure of Christ, they were still around. And they're still around today. Although some people don't want to believe it. Well, Mark 1:25 says, be quiet, said Jesus sternly. Come out of him. The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. And there have been cases where, you know, it's also been reported by some of these missionaries, not in one place, several places, where they see people come to them and they start jerking and fall on the ground and start all kinds of motion, uncontrolled, and so on and so forth. Demons. Fourth, demon possession could lead in hijacking of a person's vocal cord so that he speaks the words that demons will put in that person's mouth. You know, you see what I'm saying? That the devil, the demons, can take a person's vocal cord and speak through that person. Now, this is evident, for example, in Luke chapter 4, verse 41. It says, moreover, demons came out of many shouting, you are the Son of God. Now, was it that the demons came out and shouted? No, they were speaking through the voices they have commandeered or hijacked. Say, you are the Son of God. But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was, the Christ. So they were using people's vocal cord to speak. So you see that demons realize that Jesus is the Son of God and they use the voices of the people they possessed to shout out this truth. Now there's no way that this demon-possessed individual could have known this truth. There's no way they could know that Jesus is the Son of God. But the demons did know. Therefore, it must be the demons in them speaking using their voices. In case there is doubt that demons speak through people who they are possessed, well, let me cite two other passages. A first passage I want to cite is in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, we go from verses 17 and 18. Say, this girl followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the Spirit left her. Now you see, this slave girl did not know anything about the apostle and his team, but it was the demon in her that knew that the apostle, that Paul was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has been commissioned to preach the gospel of salvation. So when this girl spoke, it was not her speaking. The demon that possessed her had hijacked her voice and spoke through her as if she was actually speaking on her own. The apostle Paul himself, certainly filled with the Spirit, got irritated, no doubt, so commands the demons to leave that girl. Now, she's still in Acts. The second passage I'd like to go is Acts chapter 19. Look at the 19th chapter. Acts chapter 19, verse 15. It says, one day, the evil spirit answered them, the seven sons of Stephen, anyway, Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. By the way, I'm going to come back to that passage probably in a little while, just a few minutes from here. So you can mark something on it so you don't have to look for it when I come back to it. Well, see, here again, it was not a man that was demon-possessed that spoke to the sons of Sceva, for he could not have known of Jesus and his apostle Paul, but the demons in him knew Jesus and the apostle Paul, hence he declared what is recorded here. So you get the idea that demon-possessed individuals could say things that they have no knowledge of. In this case, it is the demon that possesses the individual that speaks through that person's vocal cord. Now the examples we have cited should be enough to convince you that demons do hijack human voices to speak through them. However, because many think that these things happen only in Bible times, let me cite you now a testimony of a missionary in a more recent time. This missionary, by name W.E. Wright, served in West Africa, and I'm going to, this experience is given in the Demons in Many Lands. That's the title of the book, Demons Experiences in Many Lands, and I'm really looking at quoting from page 104 of that book, where he narrated how a witch doctor spoke in a voice that was clearly not his own. So, let me quote his testimony. Quote, as I rode on horseback along a country path, I was overtaken by a witch doctor. Curious, as always, I made inquiries as to the contents of the leather bag hung over his shoulder on a miniature axe, the emblem of his profession. In other words, witch doctors carried axe, that's what he was saying. He drew from his bag a bundle of papers on which were green and orange markings, an imitation of Arabic writing by an illiterate. He volunteered to read to me from the book. Before I could stop him, for I had seen enough, he began nonsense reading in an ordinary voice. Then, suddenly, his voice changed. He was possessed, and I hear a demon through his lips telling me that I had a sick little girl in my house. My daughter had been sick for several days, and as he was a total stranger, it was unlikely that he would have heard about it. I silenced him as quickly as I could, reading to him from my book, being the Bible. So, here it's a person testifying in recent times. Now, the thing is, for example, the book they call Demons Experiences in Many Lands, most of the missionaries are from this country and some from Europe. But the intriguing thing is, almost all of them, in spite of what the Bible says, didn't believe those things until they saw them. So they had no choice but to be honest and write what they saw. Now we could cite, or I could even give you from my own personal experience with this sort of thing, but this one is sufficient to indicate that demons could take over a person's voice so that he speaks of something he has no knowledge of. Fifth, demon possession could lead in an unusual possession of strength in the individual possessed and in an unusual conduct. This fact is demonstrated in Luke's description of one of the persons that Jesus drove evil spirits from in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 of Luke, verses 27 through 30. Remember, all I'm going to show you is that when a person is demon-possessed, they can have possessed this unusual strength and act in an unusual way. It said, Luke chapter 8, beginning of verse 27. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes, that's unusual, or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't touch on me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him And though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. Now you have to agree that it requires an unusual strength for a person born with chains to break those chains in order to free himself. Furthermore, it is unusual for a person to want to live in a cemetery, buried ground, as this individual did. It is not only this incident, of course, that illustrates the unusual strength of those who are demon possessed. There is another incident that where a demon possessed individual was able to beat 7 brothers, as Luke describes to us in a passage that I told you I was coming back to in Acts chapter 19. Now this time we go begin at verse 13. Go back to Acts chapter 19, verse 13 this time. Acts 19, begin this time verse 13. We'll go through 16. It says, "Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, 'In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out.' 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, 'Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you?' Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all." Remember, these are 7 men, and this is just one man. "He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding." One man doing all that to 7 people. They couldn't subdue him. Unusual strength. So how could one person beat 7 men to the point that they bled? It must be because this person possessed an unusual strength. Hence, it should be clear that a person that is demon possessed could have unusual strength. Now, I read a case of a demon possessed woman, very skinny, probably, most women who like those kind of things, we can say, you like a figure. She's very thin as for the way they describe her, didn't weigh much. And yet, more than 7 men couldn't handle her, couldn't subdue her. This is one of those cases reported by missionaries. So that you see that this demon possession can give person an unusual strength. Of course, it does not mean that all who are demon possessed have unusual strength, but certain demon possessed individuals do have unusual strength. It is for this reason of unusual strength that some demon possessed individuals are usually violent, as described in, for example, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. Matthew chapter 8 verse 28 says, "When he arrived at the other side in the region of Gadarenes, 2 demon-possessed men came from the tombs, met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way." Demon possession. I mean, you know, they do some strengthening. So people try to give all this kind of scientific name. I will talk about that in a minute or somewhere. But you remember many years ago of a woman who was jumping around up and down, and the train was coming. She just pushed that woman inside the train and got killed. Yeah, well, it just happened, right? So, you see, demons can have once they possess a person, they can give them an unusual strength. 6th, demon possession leads to mental illness. We can state that all demon-possessed individuals must of necessity have some form of mental illness at the instant of the actual possession, for the simple reason that their minds are controlled by the demons. Now, this mental illness is evident in that the person possessed loses self-control and is prone to act irrational. So it is because of this situation that the people were astonished at the calmness of a person who had once been demon possessed but delivered by Jesus, as described by Mark in his gospel, Mark chapter 5 verse 15. Mark chapter 5 verse 15. It says, "When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." Now, the expression right mind is translated from a Greek word that also means to be sane, to think straight, or to reason correctly, or even to have sound judgment. So a person who is demon possessed is usually insane or incapable of sound judgment. Having stated this though, we have to be careful though that to understand that not every mental sickness is really a result of demon possession. Now medical scientists speak of various kinds of mental illness, ranging from the so-called affective disorder, that is a mental illness that affects a person's moods, mania, that mental illness that involves extreme optimism and excessive energy, often accompanied by uncontrolled irritability and anger. Uncontrollable irritability and anger. Two such things they call schizophrenia, which is of course a mental illness characterized by unpredictable thoughts and behavior and a withdrawal from reality. Now of course the term schizophrenia actually means splitting of the mind. These medical scientists describe various causes of mental illness as due to some physical change or changes in the brain due to damage or disease, chemical imbalance, childhood unpleasant experiences, and emotional stress. But they generally do not ascribe any form of mental disorder to anything outside the physical realm. Now this is to be expected because you see science deals with the physical world and not the spiritual world. So that's why when a scientist begins to talk something in the spiritual realm, just ignore him. Unless he's quoting the Bible. He doesn't know what he's talking. Science doesn't deal with that. It's in the spiritual realm. However, from the Bible though, it is clear that demons do cause mental illness. We have seen a case of a lot of it from our Lord's dealing with demons. But regardless of the cause of any mental sickness, we can confidently assert that every mental illness is a result of a spiritual malady in a person. That is, that mental illness is an indication of the effect of sin in a person's life. Now, you see, diseases are present because of the presence of sin in the world. Had Adam not sinned, there would have been no diseases. So the diseases that we have today are consequences of sin. Now, interestingly, medical scientists, unwittingly or knowingly, have indicated that sin is one cause of mental illness. Now you say, how you know that? Or how is that the case? Well, when medical scientists identify emotional stress as one cause of mental illness, they have actually accepted that mental illness is a result of sin. See, they say that stress may be due to overwork, financial, or other family problems. Well, in truth of the matter, in other words, they are really admitting that stress is a result of worry. That's what they're admitting, but they don't know that. But you see, the worry is the sin. For the Bible is very clear, we should not worry. Now, Lord Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, clearly forbade you and I from worrying about anything in this life. Now, let's look at it again. We studied it in the past, but look at Matthew 6:25. Matthew 6:25 says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? The Apostle Paul, writing to the Philippians, issued the command that they should also not worry. In Philippians 4:6, Philippians 4:6. He says, do not be anxious. That's a command. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. See, the expression be anxious is the same Greek word rendered worry in Matthew 6:25. Now, there's one more passage that I want to mention at this point. But because the comment that goes with it will take a little more time. So we'll pick it up after break.